بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين وقال تعالى فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. While the war is being fought in Gaza, Palestine and other parts of the world, loss of life, blood is shed, people are losing, family structures are being broken. So that's the war that we are all worried, scared about. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory to the people, to the Muslims around the world. But we as an ummah, wherever we may be, we are also on a daily battle. The battlefield may be a little bit different from what's happening in Gaza and Palestine, but we are also daily fighting battles. And at times, there is loss of life. Sometimes there is loss of a family unit. What battle are we referring to? In this day and age, the daily battle we are all facing is the tarbiyah, the upbringing of our children. If someone had to give you a piece of paper and he says, you architect the house, we will build it. A person is being given 1,000 square meters in a prime area. He's renting. It's the first time he's going to be given a house. Then he would go to the experts. He'll maybe go to an architect or person who's already got a home and a house. He says, brother, I just want to see your house, so I know how to design mines. I want mines to be Islamic friendly. And how many toilets, where should it be, how the entrance should be, etc. So he'll design that house because this is the first time and he wants it to perfection. When we become parents, then who taught us how to become a father? Did any one of us go to a person to say, listen, wife is expecting, there's a child to come, we're so overtaken with the joy, we forget about planning the child because we are going to be bringing up the future. The child actually is a message for the future. Our children are a living message for a time we will not see and an era we will not witness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the greatest responsibility as parents, and that is to build the future. The future is in our hands. So it's such a daunting task, responsibility that every father, every person has. The tarbiyah, the upbringing of the future generations. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Every one of you is a shepherd, responsible, accountable for his flock. If we look the time that we are in, the days of Hajj, leading up to the days of Qurbani, and sacrificing of animals, the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam generally is discussed from different angles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam
إن إبراهيم كان أمة. That this one individual and personality, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, was an ummah. But we know an ummah to be a collection of people. It's many that make up an ummah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala classifies and categorizes one individual, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, as an ummah. He was an embodiment of values, ethics, qualities that we need to imbibe within ourselves. If we study the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam from different angles, then the challenge he faced as a son to his father, and the father was a kafir. How did he respond? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam as his husband, how did he deal with multiple wives? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, how did he deal with his child? How did he deal with the people as the Nabi of his qawm and his and the nation? And one aspect, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that there was active parenting and fatherhood in his life. And Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, we know at a very old age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with a child. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was of that age where we can say he can be a runner for his father, now he's of that age where he can do things and assist the father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one more test is placed in front of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now you need to sacrifice that son who you think will assist you in old age. Now put the knife to his throat and sacrifice him for my sake. And the rest of the incident we know. But the valuable point, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. The first thing is that he comes from that angle of love and compassion. He is assigned a duty, that's a task. It's really difficult. Which father will be happily ready to slaughter his son? It's going to pain any father. But look at the angle Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam comes from, understanding it's the command of Allah, I need to comply. But when discussing with his son, he doesn't say, come, we're going somewhere and I need to do something. He addresses him, he says, Ya Bunay, oh my most beloved son. What was the response? Ya Abati, oh my beloved father. Not Abi. My Abati, my most beloved father. Because the father dispensed love, he reciprocated with love. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, oh my most beloved son. The son responds and he says, oh my most beloved father. So that love and affection was found. And that was the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is showing love. He says, oh my son, my most beloved son. So already you got into him. He says, my beloved son. What's to follow is coming from an angle of love, not hatred. Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. Fanzur madha tara. I had a dream. In this dream I'm slaughtering you. He doesn't say, come, lie down. Allah said, I'm going to slaughter you. But he engages with his son. He says, oh my beloved son, I had a dream, I'm slaughtering you. Mada tara, what's your take? What you think about it? Can you perhaps maybe chip in, say something? Let's have a good discussion. Mada tara. And that is the lesson for us. As fathers, we have to engage with the children. Number one is that angle of compassion. Number two is that there has to be where we engage with the child. If, example, the son has to say, Papa, I want to do this. No, 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 don't even discuss that with me. Are we like CC where we got a closed circuit at home and everything is limited? I make my own individual decisions. Or we engage. Yes, he may ask for something absurd. He may request something illogical. Doesn't make sense. It's not going to go through. But still engage with him. No problem, beta. What you were saying? What you wanted to buy? No problem, sit down. You wanted to buy this. From where? How much is it? And then you get into him. So he knows, listen, I have already engaged with my father. My father has given me a hearing. I am something important to him. Rather than just closing the door, no, it's not even open for discussion. And then the daughter comes and says, Papa, I'm, you know, in thinking there'll be a good boy. Whichever way the proposal comes, but it's supposed to be in a halal way. He says, Papa, I'm thinking of that boy. Don't even discuss that. They don't come from our gum. Finish. We're not going to talk about it. Is it going to be like that? And then she elopes, she runs away. Now you're sitting with a problem. And then children come and you say, what a grandfather. I can't even be there for the birth. I can't even be there for a happy moment. But why not engage? Speak about it. Let's see where we all are coming from. Perhaps she'll understand you. Perhaps the child will understand where you're coming from. But you have to voice your opinion. How will that be? Table it. Let's sit. Let's discuss it. So that's important. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is giving us that lesson. He didn't say, son, I need to slaughter you. He says, what's your take on it? Mada tara? Response, ya abati, oh my beloved father. Oh my beloved father. But we know Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam left a breastfeeding, milk-suckling child and he went out in the path of Allah. And the time he comes back is the time he's tested. In between, some historians suggest that there were momentarily or occasional visits. There were certain visits. Ibrahim alayhi salam will come, spend some time. So where was the tarbiyah of this child made? The tarbiyah of the children starts from choosing the mother of your children. It's not just getting married and expecting the world just to form. Once the child is ready to get married, already tell him, don't look for a model. When you come home, you're going to ask for a cup of tea. There's the tea bags, that's the sugar. Well, that's how it's made. But you need to look for a wife to your children. The choice has to be correct. So the decision of the tarbiyah starts from the choice of the wife. From the time I choose my wife, I know the tarbiyah of my children. The homework is about what home does she come from? Is the iman, is the foundation upon Quran, Sunnah, love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the foundation of iman, so important. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is sitting behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Sam speaks to him. He says, Ya Ghulam. He's addressing him. Ya Ghulam, oh youngster, small boy. He says, I want to teach you a few elementary basic things. Inni u'allimuka kalimat. Perhaps we'll be able to even finish the rest of the hadith. But when have I ever sat with my son and instilled within him iman and explained to him that water is not coming from the tap. Water does not come because we bought bottled water. Water comes from the command of Allah. Yes, there is a system of the clouds raining, water being collected, filtration. But remember, this is the command of Allah. You want to go for Hajj? The system is you put your name in. The system of Allah is you need money to go for Umrah. But my son, you talk to Allah, He will take you for Umrah without the money. Or do we say, no man, those are for buzruks. Go Umrah without money. Malana, what are you talking about? How many of us are really instilling iman within our children? That foundation we sit. Simple thing. We don't have to give any bayans to the children. Simple. Fadaili Amal is ready-made. Have the kitab open, sit with the children. Read one story, it talks for itself. The lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum is a sufficient advice for our children. You don't need to give anything more than that. Just the story of a Sahabi, the child will want to mimic that life of that Sahabi. He'll want to become that. He says, this is what I want to become. My dream is to become like a Sahabi. I want to live that life. So Nabi Ibrahim, so the foundation of iman. And the next important point for us is that we ourselves as parents, we have to be very strictly adhering to the Sharia that will filter down to our children. If we follow, if we prioritize salah, irrespective of the occasion, I will drop and leave for the occasion of salah. No matter who I am with and what I'm doing, if the muadhin has called me, hayya ala salah, immediately I respond. If the son sees the priority of salah in the father, then the day the child becomes of age, he'll prioritize salah. If he saw my father, this is how he lived. If a person asked him, he never said no. To say no was hard. Even if he didn't have, he would give whatever he could. Then that will filter down to the child. Subhanallah, youngster passes away. So I'm asking the father, I say, tell me something about this Hafiz Ab. MashaAllah, Mubarak, he got Shahada, he got a good death. But tell me something about his life. He says, Mawlana, there's not much I can tell you besides what people have said. I say, okay, what people have said? He says he went to Johannesburg and he was doing some work in Johannesburg, and this last Ramadan, he was there with the Jami'a doing some work and preparing the meals, and someone came and he had a sad story and he's talking to my son. He says, you got a very nice tracksuit. He says, you got a very nice tracksuit. So the son says, just do me a favor, just mix this, I'm coming now. He says, perhaps maybe he's cutting a line. I told him he's got a nice tracksuit and he wants to avoid me. He can see I got a sad story. So he went to the car. He had the kurta, but because he was working, he took it out, put his kurta on, took out the tracksuit, put it into a packet. He says, brother, this is for you since you liked it and you don't have anything. So I say, but hold on, for him to get that, perhaps he got it from somewhere. And exactly that was the life of the father. The father can't say no. You can come with the most saddest of stories and he know you are buying him and selling him. He say, no, but I have to give you something. Because if my Allah looks after me when I sell my story, how can I not look after people? I'm also like that. I also have to give something. So he gave it. But that was what he got from his father. Those qualities from the father. And remember, there's a difference between being liked and being valued. Many people will like you. Very few will value you. They like you for the car you drive. They like you for the brands you wear. But very few will value you. They only value you for the values you carry. What values do I have as an individual? And the values we carry are like fingerprints. Every person you interact with, you've left your impression on him. The day you pass away, he'll remember him. He says, so and so, I remember him for this quality. He doesn't remember you for the car you drive, for the you had driven. It's not for the clothes you wore, but it is for the values you carry, how you interacted with the person. So that's important. If there is love in the home, and we are living role models for our children, this will foster a healthy spiritual, emotional well-being within our children. Then they will have qualities to live with. It's these qualities that we need to dispense and teach our children to say, this is a living quality, bring it within yourself. And how often isn't it a complaint? Ask those people who are doing collections for organizations, for madaris, or whatever it may be. And they say, Mawlana, what the father used to do, the son is not doing. He can't come close to his father. He can't match him. But what was it? The father didn't have the son in the office to say, boy, this is what I do. He didn't tell him. He didn't explain to him, boy, listen, if you see barakat in the business, sometimes I gave someone 100,000 rand. But he couldn't pay it back. He came with a sad story. And it was a genuine story. I would write it off. But the new generation, no. Business is business. We've got it. It's written. However you pay, you make sure you pay. And ask so many people. It was very recent, perhaps a week ago. And then someone in the family is saying, you know, Mawlana, you know, I have to tell you something about... Perhaps this would be 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 generations higher than me. 4 generations. And he says, Mawlana, this is what happened when they came to South Africa. Someone did them down and they say, Kini, it's okay. If Allah brought me here, He let me down, may Allah won't let me down. But the barakah of it was seen in His children, every one of them, Hufaz of the Quran. There was no money in the house, but every one of those children became Hufaz of the Quran. Now those lessons, who's going to give it to our children? We have to be there to show them that, boy, the barakah in the business is not how much we make, it's how much we give. It's how much we gave to people, how much we looked after the people. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, always remember, smaller children, smaller problems. Bigger children, bigger problems. When they get married, it's not finished now. It's over. You're a father now, you must go and live your life. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, son is married. Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, he's already married. But then he pays a visit and he comes in old age. And he comes, knocks on the door of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. And he asks, how are you? So this lady complains. He says, Nahnu bishar. We in difficult times, diqin wa shidda. You know, we would say, hey, business is not like before. People are complaining. It's not good. So anyway, he says, yeah, things are bad. Things are bad. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked what you eat, what you drink, etc. And she was complaining. She said, okay, your husband, you know, he's gone out for some work. When he comes back, give him my salams and tell him he should change the stoop of his door. Change the stoop of the door. Okay. Ismail alayhi salam comes back. He says, anyone visited? Yes. Old man came. You say one bali came. We say one old topi came. He says, yeah, one old man came. What he said? No, he asked me some questions. I told him the reality. Really, we are suffering. We're not in good times, in a good position. And that old man, he said, must change your stoop. He says, you know who's that? That's my father. When he said, change the stoop of the door, he gave me advice, I must divorce you. You don't make shukr. Nabi Ismail alayhi salam never say, hey, what my father said? I have to go find out. Is it true? No, but maybe Papa never understood where she's coming from. My father said, sir, anko par finished. My father said, alhamdulillah, you get certain children. They will see, Papa said, finish. That's the end of it. I know my Papa will always want the best for me. I'm going to listen to him. But is it such that we have children will say, I know my father loves me. I know he loves his Allah and his decision is driven with love. I have to listen to him. Is it like that? So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam continued. He came back later on, few years. Same old man asked a few questions. And then the answers were, alhamdulillah. What you drink? Masharabukum al-ma. We drink water. He says, okay. And how's life? Alhamdulillah. Nothing to complain about. We're in a very good position. Okay, where's your husband gone out? When he comes, give him my salams and tell him to maintain the stoop of his door. So Ismail alayhi salam comes back and asks the wife, any visitors? Yes. An old man came in a good position. He looked very well. See, mashallah, look at the description. Now this wife describes my old father in good terms. Say, okay, what he asked you, what were your answers, what did he say? He says, I must maintain the stoop of my door. Well, that's my father who is happy with you as my wife. He says, I must keep you. He says, I must keep you. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam is happy. He comes, he says, O Ismail, now we have to build the Kaaba. Now we have to build Kaaba Sharif. As the team, father and son are working to build the Kaaba Sharif. Amazing one point and we move on. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ The person that built the Kaaba Sharif was Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, never forget the ihsan and the efforts of your children. Even if he picked up one spoon, but jazakallah so much, you helped me to clear the table. Even if you washed the whole car, and the only thing he did was vacuum it. You washed it. You did everything else. Dirtied yourself. Jazakumullah bai. At least that much you did. Allah reward you so much. But not sarcastic, in a good way, positive. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember the day when Ibrahim alayhi salam had risen the foundation of Kaaba Sharif and Ismail alayhi salam. Appreciate whatever efforts they make. Yet the builder was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq. When Hafizah passed away, Janaza was in Johannesburg. He's from Durban. Janaza was attended by thousands of people. Rather, just over 1,000 people. Over 1,000. Just recently, maybe about a month ago, we met one person from Johannesburg. And in this area, so from Lodium. So I says, he's asking me, where are you from? So I say, from Durban. Okay. You remember so-and-so? Hafiz so. He says, yeah, I remember him. He's Janaza, Mulana, Allahu Akbar. What a Janaza. We don't see Janazas for our local people. So many people came. Why? He left his impression on everyone's hearts. When he came for the itikaf, he saw one stranger. He says, boy, you don't look like you from Lodium. Listen, you give me your clothes, I'll wash it. He says, no, my son will be coming the weekend. No, leave your son. I'll wash it daily and give it to you. You don't need to have 5 pairs. You can have 2 pairs also. Every day I'll wash it. But listen, tell me what you're feeling for. My wife will make it for you. And then he went to the car wash. And the car wash, that person, he said, whose car this? He says, my son. He says, where is he? He says, Pastor Bey. Oh, ho. The way your son used to trip me, I'm going to miss him. He left his impression even on him. Janaza was attended by many people. So I asked him, but listen, father, tell me 1-2 things. He was Hafidhul Quran. He says, I made sure when I brought up my children, number one is salah. If you miss your salah, I'm going to be very upset with you. I'm not your friend. But if you come for salah, I'm your best friend. You ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. If he asked me for 200 ren, I gave him 400 ren. I say, because you love your Allah. And he asked me for anything and I will just look at how committed is he to the deen of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq. And we win this battle of the upbringing of our, and the tarbiyat of our children. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.